WrestleMania 37 is over, and Nerdy Dan is here with a recap of the weekend's festivities. All right, WrestleMania 37 is in the books, and we are going to be talking about the different days in each segment. So day one will be the first segment, day two will be the second. And we'll be talking about the matches in no particular order, but we'll end up with the SmackDown's Women's Championship. I can't say that right. I was trying to record a TikTok with that, and I kept on mispronouncing SmackDown Women's Championship. I don't understand why, but it is what it is. So let's just go through the matches and my predictions with the matches and see where I was and how I did. You had the tag team turmoil match. I, for some reason, thought that Naomi, because she hadn't held a belt in a while, that they were going to go ahead and let that and get Lana continue with her, you know, underdog push going on. But I was thinking initially that it could have been Natalya and Tamina that did go ahead and win it. As I said on my blog, that it was very tempting to pick Natalya and Tamina. I did not pick them, however, and that's who ultimately ended up winning. But it was a good match. It was a good showing for Natalya and Tamina. I think everybody should have been very impressed with them and the results of the tag team turmoil match. You also had the other match that I got wrong on day one, the Raw Tag Team Championship. I thought this was going to be a how David beats Goliath type of match. And for the first part of the match, it was just the New Day just beating up on AJ Styles. And you know, maybe seeing Omos not understanding that you might have to reach all the way in to get a tag, or I don't know. But once AJ Styles was able to get the tag, it pretty much just became a squash match. Just, I did not anticipate him to come in and just beat them senseless and win that way. I was a little surprised at that, obviously, because I predicted the New Day to retain. They did not. But, I mean, I guess they're going to do more with Omos going forward. I don't know what, but, I mean, I guess it did show that he is a giant to be dealt with, and maybe the David versus Goliath type scenario doesn't happen now. It happens later. So those are my wrong predictions on the first day. Let's go to Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. A lot of people were believing that the Brains was going to beat the Braun. A lot of things happened that I did predict. I predicted that at some point you would have run-ins by Elias and Riker. I wasn't expecting it to be immediately, but it is what it is. It happened, and it happened twice, so there we go. I did believe that, as I said on my podcast, for the last podcast, that there was going to be some showing of strength by Strowman to kind of overcome. And initially, I thought it was going to be like, oh, Braun Strowman's going to get handcuffed to the cage and rips off the handcuffs. Ooh, look how strong Braun is. And that's how he ends up winning. No. And for a second, I was like, seeing Shane McMahon get on the top, start climbing his way down. All he had to do is drop. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be wrong about this one. No, don't let me be wrong about this one. And then, of course, he does the mocking with the Braun through the cage, which then allows Braun Strowman to jump up, get his hand, and keep him there, and then just rip the cage open, which, I mean, the cage is probably rigged to be easily ripped open at that point. Who are we kidding? But his kayfabe show of strength allowed him to pull him in. And then, of course, there was the epic throwing off the top of the cage, which isn't the same as like Mankind being thrown off of Hell in a Cell through a table, but it was enough to get my son, who is like 8, looking at it and just be like, oh my god. So there's that. But I was right with that pick. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. It turned out to be a match that I expected it to be. Cesaro, it was a good match. I enjoyed the match, and Cesaro ended up getting that WrestleMania moment, his WrestleMania solo's victory. So, you know, I don't really have much to say about it. It was just a solid match. The day started with the WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley defending against Drew McIntyre. Now, I said it was a tough match to predict. I believe that because Drew McIntyre had his WrestleMania moments last year, that Bobby Lashley would get his this year. A friend of mine, who was at WrestleMania this year, seemed to believe that Drew McIntyre should have gotten his WrestleMania moment in front of the fans this year, and maybe they should have had Drew McIntyre win the title from him earlier than have Bobby Lashley win it at WrestleMania to be his Mania moment, which I guess there's something to be said about that, but I think I agree with the way that they did this to kind of establish Bobby Lashley as being, you know, the era of the Almighty and being unstoppable, and his getting him to win cleanly was, you know, definitely showed that he is somebody who is to be reckoned with in the storylines to come. So Lashley retains. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and John Morrison. Now, I predicted that Bad Bunny and Damian Priest would win. Holy crap. I did not expect to see what I saw. And nobody expected to see what they saw. I wish I had done a live reaction recording of this, because I mean, what Bad Bunny did. There were some moments where it was clear that Bad Bunny was not a professional wrestler full time, and so there were a couple of clear botches, I think, early on. But when he pulled off the Canadian Destroyer, which, frankly, is probably more about the person getting destroyed than the person doing the destroying, but my face matched The Miz's face. And I don't know if The Miz was anticipating that move happening. I don't know if that was the anticipation. I don't know if how many people knew that that move was coming. Maybe it was just between, you know, Bad Bunny and John Morrison, that, hey, we're going to do this move, let's do it. Or if everyone knew, and just The Miz is, if The Miz knew it was happening, the look that he made on his face, his shocked look, was genuine. It was a genuine look of shock that, if he's acting it, applause to The Miz on that one. That was a good, might be the best acting you've ever done if you knew that was coming. But I didn't know it was coming, and that's the face I made too. So Bad Bunny just impressed the hell out of me and everybody else. And I just, whew, that was a really good match. Finally, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. And it was a very good match, and I was very impressed with it. I liked what I saw, and I predicted that Bianca Belair was going to get the win, and she did get the win in a historic main event. As everybody talked about at WrestleMania, that, you know, you have two black women headlining, main eventing a WrestleMania day. When does that happen? Never. And both of them deserved it. I'm not a huge Sasha Banks fan, but clearly she's talented. That's where she is. She's where she is because she's talented. And Bianca Belair got to where she is because she's very talented too. And they both deserved the spotlight and the kudos that they got. And Bianca Belair deserved to win the match and get the recognition because she's really good, really entertaining. And when she caught, rolled through, and then walked her up the steps to throw Sasha Banks into the ring, wow, that was great. That was great. And day one, I think, was a good day. I didn't anticipate, you know, it's hard to pick a tag team turmoil match, you know, probably not as hard as a battle royal, and I have gotten those right before in the past, but at the end of the day, when you have more than one team, more than one person, or more than two teams, I should say, more than two people in the match, it gets difficult to pick unless you know maybe it's a clear winner. Sometimes I get it right, like the Iconics that one year, this year I got it wrong. So let's go ahead and take a quick break, play a couple commercials, and then talk about day two, which was my day of reckoning. How would you like to be able to set some money aside for a rainy day? How would you like an account that gave you a monthly savings bonus? What if I told you that there was a bank that was FDIC insured that would allow you to enter a weekly drawing where you could win up to $10 million? And what if I told you that you would get 100 chances to win that drawing when you make your first deposit, and then get weekly chances after that as long as you maintain a balance? Well, all of that is true. You can join me over at yada.nerdydan.com, and when you make your first deposit, we'll each get 100 tickets, and I'll give you a shout-out on the podcast. Just go to yada.nerdydan.com. That's yotta.nerdydan.com.
Greetings. This is Nimbus Yosh, host of the Percy Podcast. What is the Percy Podcast? Well, it's pretty much the smoothest talking host you'll ever hear in your life, talking about all kinds of things. Political things, nerdy things, fun things, not so fun things. Go ahead, give a listen, and follow at the Percy Podcast for more updates and information. Why not sit back and take a listen to one of the best podcasts you'll ever hear, and no one else will. Catch you on the tunes.
Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Gaminox, host of The World According to Nox. It's time for Season 2, where I take you on another trip through my world. The world of movies, video games, pop culture, and more. Relate them to the world around you. Don't forget to leave a question for MarsCat, and find me on Twitter by the handle XDeminox. That's the letter X like X-Men, D-E-M-I-N-O-X. Now enjoy the rest of your podcast.
And we are back, talking about day two of WrestleMania 37. On day one, I went 5-2. Day two was not as good for me. Oh my goodness. I did not do well at all. At all. So let's talk about... Got The Fiend versus Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I said on my blog, and I think on the podcast as well, that this match was going to be the hardest one to pick. There are other hard ones to pick, like the tag team turmoil, or maybe Lashley versus McIntyre. This one was the most unsure about, because you have the situation where you never know what's going to happen with a Fiend match. Sometimes it's just surreal. Sometimes it's just goes somewhere you don't expect it to go. And this one, it went where we didn't expect it to go. I don't think anybody expected to see whatever it was that happened to Alexa Bliss. I don't think that anybody expected that to happen. And according to at least kayfabe, neither did The Fiend, who seemed shocked, which opened him up to be RKO'd, and Randy Orton gets the victory, and I go 0-1 today. I mean, but of all the matches to be wrong on, this is probably the one I expected to be wrong on. Then we have Big E versus Apollo Crews. A no-rules street fight. It looked like it was going the way I was expecting it to go. But here's the problem I have with this match. As I said on my blog, and as I said on the podcast, why give Big E such a big push to then just go, here you go, Apollo Crews, there's your push. You now get the push. So have we wasted Big E's push? Is this what happens to Big E now? Now that he's lost this, does this feud continue? Because Big E lost because Crews cheated. I guess he didn't cheat because it wasn't against the rules, because it's a street fight, so there are no rules, but there was outside interference. So does Does that? I think that's the one thing that perhaps saves Big E's push, in that the only way Cruz was able to win was outside interference. So there's that. So maybe it's not as bad for Big E as a clean win for Cruz would have been, but I don't understand where the WWE went with this, and maybe it will become apparent in the days and weeks and months to come where the WWE was going with this. But it was just, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see who this other guy is who came in and helped Cruz get the victory. Maybe, I guess. Maybe he'll be a good addition to the roster and be able to bring more excitement to the storyline. Maybe this is who Big E will feud with next, but then he's not going after a championship, which seemed to be that with Paul Heyman sitting down and talking with Big E weeks or months ago, it seemed like they were going to get him to the Intercontinental Championship picture, and then he would be using that to springboard to get into the heavyweight picture. But I don't know. And I think what happened later on in the day, I think that puts a lot of that in question too. Maybe he will eventually get the Intercontinental title back. Maybe he will then use that to springboard into the title picture later on in the year or next year or whatever. But it was a weird way to handle the push. But again, I got it wrong. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. As I said, how weak can they make Sami Zayn? How does him losing this match again make him so that he is, you know, a meaningful character in the storyline? Like, how does this help Zayn? Are they making him be the Brooklyn Brawler? Are they making him be somebody who is just going to be a jobber from this point on in his career? I mean, when he came into the main event, when he went to the main shows, I don't think that's what they wanted for him. I think fans still sing his theme song when he comes out. I think I was right that Kevin Owens was more likely to come back from a loss here than Zayn would have been. It was a good match. I think Sami Zayn performed well. It was an entertaining match, but it would have been just of an entertaining as a match had they let Zayn win. I'm not just saying that because it gave me another loss in my prediction column, but I don't understand where they're going with this one either. Day two at this point is becoming a very confusing day for me. The United States Championship, Riddle versus Sheamus, i.e. the one where Riddle almost dies because Sheamus is trying his big move off the top rope and clearly slips. Now, he held on, and that's fine. And so, fortunately, we didn't lose Matt Riddle for good. But I think, I don't know, I'm not upset that Sheamus won. But again, I just don't know. Like, did they let Riddle get the title so that Sheamus could eventually get it? Like, I don't know. Like, are they simply just rewarding Sheamus for allowing the heavyweights to kind of use him up and beat him up and create drama for the main card for the WWE Championship? Is this his reward for his roles that he played in that? I don't know. I don't think it's bad storytelling, as like Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens one was, or the Big E, Apollo Crews one was. I don't think that it's bad storytelling. I just think it's, I don't know. I didn't feel like they were going to give it to Sheamus, but fine. I guess we'll see what they do with it. I guess they'll see how they handle it with Riddle. Maybe it comes back another day. Maybe Riddle gets elevated into the championship picture, but Riddle just took the U.S. Championship in the first place, so I don't see Riddle getting into the heavyweight picture card anytime soon. heavyweight card picture, I should say. Women's Tag Team Championship. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus To Be Determined. And look, I was originally, as I said in my blog, I was tempted to make this prediction after the match, but my prediction is that the winner of the match is going to win this match too. And once, and had I waited to make this prediction to see who would win the tag team turmoil match, I would have still picked Natalya and Tamina to win. And they almost did. It was a little weird at the end. I always find it a little weird that, you know, you have Natalya trying to put Jax in the sharpshooter, and the referee is like waving her off, waving her, look, no, you're not, that's not the right person. And then all of a sudden she gets blindsided. Well, she should have heard that it's not the right person. It always seems weird to me when that happens and the referee is saying, look, that's not the right person. Blind tags, I understand blind tags. That's a great arc. It's a great thing to use in a match to get confusion going. It's a perfectly legitimate tactic that is used a lot in tag team matches. I just think it's silly once you get to the point where the referee's like, no, it's not her. And she's still like, no, I'm going to put her in the sharpshooter anyway. So, I mean, I just don't understand why. Like, I think it would have been better storytelling to let Tamina and Natalya win and then maybe have like a singles matchup or singles feud between Baszler and Jax, who now are fed up with each other. That probably would have been better. It's probably how I would have written it. But then again, I'm not a writer for WWE at least, so who knows. So again, I'm still wrong. I was wrong. Those five matches, I was absolutely wrong, 100%. And it was just like I was getting punched like in the corner, like poof, poof. Somebody should have just thrown in a towel at that point, because my record or my streak of nailing WrestleMania predictions was already on the ropes. And the only chance I had of coming out with a winning record was to be right about the last two matches, and then to be right that John Cena didn't make an appearance, to be my tiebreaker. That would have been the only way that I win. So then Asuka and Rhea Ripley start. Their match was great. I loved the match. I thought it was very well done. I liked some of the moves that were done. I think that, you know, I thought that this is where they were going to let Rhea Ripley get this win, despite her being new, simply because of the fact that I think this is openly, like, a worst-kept secret that she's getting pushed, and that's how she's going to get this title. She's getting pushed now. And that's what happened. So here we go. And she wins. And I messaged my friend Faye. I'm like, finally. Finally. The Dan has got a match right. But that victory was short-lived, because as if you listened to my first podcast about WrestleMania and my predictions, you would see that my prediction for the winner of the WCW Championship, I'm sorry, the Universal Championship, was going to be Edge. That's what I thought was going to happen. And again, it was a good match. I liked the part where Edge was about to have him tap it because had him in the crossface, Reigns in the crossface. Then Brian comes in right before the tap and then puts him in a submission maneuver, and they're all just like headbutting each other. I think that was a great moment of the match. I like how they kind of removed Jey Uso early, and then I was sitting down and messaged my friend Faye again. I'm like, is Jimmy Uso going to come in now, and is he gonna you know, help the head of the table too? And I was wrong. It was Jey Uso that came back again to kind of help out. And it's weird because, you know, that Reigns is so this over, and but still yet he's needing help, but he's being, even though he's getting the help, he's being shown and believed as an indestructible champion. Like, he can't lose because he is the quote head of the table. But he's also the head of the table because he keeps getting help from Jey Uso, his right-hand man. So, I, on my blog and on the last podcast, I spelled out exactly what I thought might happen if Edge were to win, and especially if Edge would win to defeat and do so by pinning Daniel Bryan. Guess I was right that Daniel Bryan got pinned, but he didn't get pinned by Edge, and he got, you know, he was pinned at the same time as Edge was pinned because of the concerto. But look, they're setting this up, and maybe when it comes to Survivor Series and you have the people with who have the titles fighting each other, maybe that's going to be the big match of the head of the table, Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley, two unstoppable forces, like almost like a Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior type of situation. Maybe. I mean, they're not going to change hands. Titles aren't going to change hands with that match, but it's going to be one of those epic type of matches where you have the unstoppable force via the immovable object, and who can win this one? Although I think if I had to guess right now who they would let win that one, it would probably be Roman Reigns, because they are making, as I think a lot of people are seeing, I don't think Raw is the flagship show anymore. SmackDown is the flagship show. Why is SmackDown the flagship show? Because Fox shelled out a crap ton of money to make SmackDown the flagship show. So, which is now weird because you have Peacock, which is NBC, which owns USA Network. They now own the WWE Network. So that makes me wonder which one is going to be the big show. Apologies to Paul White. But, you know, which is weird because not only is SmackDown the big show, or the most hyped show now, because you have, again, as Roman Reigns said, the title that everybody wants to have, the Universal Championship. But the Universal Championship is what basically was the WCW Championship. It was what the World Championship was. WCW World Champion, World Championship belt, now it's the Universal Championship belt. Because the other belt is a WWE belt. If the other belt is the WWE belt, WWE, sorry. This one's the WCW one. So that's weird. What do you think about that? If do you agree that it's weird that what is, for all intents and purposes, the WCW Championship is now the biggest title on the brand? Do you believe that the WCW Championship or the WWE Universal Championship is the bigger championship as opposed to the WWE Heavyweight Championship? Do you see that the WWE Championship is still bigger? Do you believe that? I don't. Why don't I believe that? Because the WWE Championship was defended first on day one, and the WCW Championship, i.e. the Universal Championship, was defended last to finish off the show. If that doesn't tell you where the titles are at this point in time, nothing should. But anyway, thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments that you want to leave and want me to address on a future podcast, I welcome you to do so. You can leave responses on the Anchor platform. It can be up to a minute. And if you want to ask a couple of questions or make a couple of comments, I'm no problem with you leaving a couple. You can also leave your comments on the post at nerdydan.com where this will reside. Also, if you see this via Twitter, you can leave comments on Twitter or Facebook as well, and I'll be happy to respond there or to respond in the new podcast. So again, if you want to follow the show and support it, it's nerdydan.com everywhere. So if you go to nerdydan.com, go to find me online, you can find all the images, click all the images, you can find all the places where I exist currently online, and you can subscribe and or follow. That's TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, all of which is Nerdy Dan, DOTCOM, nerdydan.com. So thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it, and you have a good week.